I think the most prepared people for the use of AI are writers, because writers know how to convey language better than anybody.
The AI could just spew out a bunch of garbage that actually isn't true, but I might believe it. Is this not a serious concern?
It would be, until you consider the possibility of personal AIs. But just imagine you have a personal AI that's taking all these things in, and then it's fighting against those external AIs that are violating the principles that you don't want. Do is allow people to organize and assess themselves in a way that they've never been able to do before. And now you could set the parameters of how you want to act. There's good and bad factors of it, but it is, I think, going to provide insights into people that they've never had before or never trusted before, and now they could know.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, once again to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with an awesome episode with Mark DeGress. Mark, what's happening, man? How are you?
Great. Things are going great. And more big things are coming.
Huge things. This was literally like, it took me a minute to set up my tech. I was running late. Mark was very patient. But we had one of those conversations where I was like, literally, let's just shut up and click record. Because Mark is brilliant when it comes to marketing predictions on AI. I'm sure we'll talk a lot about predictions and where AI is going. Because Mark is the president of Digital Marketer, an e-learning company focused on skill development for professional marketers, marketing agencies, and small business owners. Mark has been working in content development since the mid-2000s, creating tens of thousands of articles, graphics, videos, and podcasts over the years. Digital Marketer has certified over 70,000 marketers since 2016. I somehow made it on his podcast, the Digital Marketer Podcast, Niche Business Podcasting. That'll be in the show notes. But wow, man, you're taking names, man. You're crushing it. I'm excited to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a journey. You know, it's funny because I always come up with like, I know a lot about different industries. And so I always have something to say on most things. And it's from doing all the content, because I've worked with hundreds of businesses to create their content. And so I just kind of assimilate a whole bunch of information, including details and feelings of the owners of these businesses. So I think it gives me a unique perspective on what's going to happen coming up.
And that's why I know this conversation will have a tremendous amount of depth to it. I mean, second to like a HubSpot. I mean, to certify over 70K marketers is unbelievable in such a short period of time. But you guys as a company, and you personally, didn't just like roll out of bed and have this depth and this huge company putting out articles every single day. Where did it start? Did you want to be a marketer when you wanted to grow? Did you want to be an astronaut? Did you want to be a marketer? Like, where did it all begin?
You know what? It's funny because I think I've always been in content, like content creation, because I was actually making videos with my friends, with my dad's giant VHS recorder back when I was like 7, 8, 9, and even writing stories. So I used to stay in at recess in second and third grade to write stories with my friend Jack McDonald. And it's become natural. So I think I've always enjoyed fiction, and I've always enjoyed content creation for writing, and you know, eventually tech. My dad's a computer engineer, and so I grew up with, even though I'm 40 or almost 40, I grew up with a computer since I was 5. And so that's kind of, it was advanced, because this was the mid 80s when it was happening. And so everything just kind of rolled throughout my life. And I thought it was just part of everybody's experience. But the more I've kind of talked to people, the more I've learned, like, no, that was actually a pretty unique experience to be that exposed to technology, and then the marketing side. And then my grandfather, who's an artist. So I kind of grew up watching my grandfather paint and do all this kind of stuff. So it's always been a mix of kind of technical aspects from my father, and then the art side from my grandfather and other family members.
Yeah, the science and the art, the technical and the creative mixed together. So little Mark is writing fiction novels at a young age, it sounds like. maybe not a full novel. What were you writing about, man?
Oh, it was actually it was science fiction. So I've been a big science fiction fan. Now I call it, it's hard science fiction because a lot of people say, I say science fiction, they're like, oh, Star Wars and Star Trek. But now I'm into space operas. And actually I grew up, that was part of it because my dad was into science fiction. So I grew up reading like the Green Hills of Earth and the Illustrated Man and these short stories that kind of drove a bunch of science fiction that you see today is actually from these older books, just kind of reinvented today. So yeah, a lot of science fiction. I've always been into it and, you know, building things. So like, and I post about some of this stuff, like over the last, thanks to AI over the last like 2 months, I came up with a new concept for kind of an RC airplane design element that I'm building out. We developed a board game, my son and I, for Mother's Day. So now thanks to AI, I'm actually, it's blown up how much stuff I'm able to do just because I'm able to do the creative side 50 million times faster. So it's been, it's incredible. That's why when I actually started, I only started using AI like seriously back in December. And so, and before that I had actually used a company called Synthesia, which is a company that actually allows you to animate an avatar. And this was 2 years ago. So it was not like I had no exposure to it. It's just, it got so much better around December. And then all of a sudden I was like, holy crap, you know, if I could do all this stuff, then better people could do way more than me. So it's going to move things. It's going to change things out. That's kind of where my current obsession with AI came from.
It's moving quickly. I did this for my girlfriend once. I set up a website, ilovemylover.com, love with an A, and posted a bunch of photos and like built a website. You're creating board games just for Mother's Day quickly. Like the speed that I read an article, someone wrote like 70 books in the last year, just like playing with ChatGPT. It's mind blowing.
Totally
I'm already going on a tangent, but I'm thinking fiction and marketing. And it reminded me of, you know, Jordan Harbinger was on the show. We talked about this on Depth, and he was exposing that a lot of marketers are pretty much just lie about anything. Like what they say is actually fiction. And when there is a lot of dishonest marketers out there, access to a technology where they can just spit out content, is there authenticity anymore?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think what we're finding now, because if you use AI, you could recognize AI or sloppy AI or content generated. So it's, there's still a bunch of nuances that make good use of it good. And you see, we've actually been doing this type of stuff, this kind of lazy content generation for years. If you hire a social media company to say, oh, I want to post a day and it's $500 a month, then they'll just spit out crap content. It's not branded. It's not creative. It's not effective. It's just content. And so we've been exposed to this kind of crap content for forever. We just kind of ignore it. And the same thing's going to happen with the crap AI content, because it's kind of funny. I wrote 70 books. I'm like, you know what? To me, a book is a very, very special personal thing. It's a connection with an author who is trying to convey their ideas in the most detail possible. And if you just take away that and be like, oh, no, whatever, AI, make me an outline, write me a book. And I've done this. You can actually download, I think it's AI for personal branding or something. And I wrote the entire book using AI and I just copy and pasted it just to show, like, here's what this content looks like. And it's not bad. And it is based off of my writing because I fed it my writing to actually produce the words within it.
Right.
On that note, though, if you are going to do this, I would actually use a transcription of a presentation that you give instead of using an actual article that you wrote. Because the transcription will sound a lot like more like you or your writing than the article that you wrote did. So just a quick tip there if you're going to do it.
Can we talk a little bit about that? Because literally what I've been doing, and I'm not an AI specialist, but I've always interviewed my clients and recorded it. So when I write their social media posts, it's in their languaging. Nowadays, I just copy paste the transcription and ChatGPT will take out the top quotes if I wanted to. It'll highlight key points. And so I'm using it a little bit. And then I'm obviously rewriting it after ChatGPT spits something out. But this is something pretty much anyone can do. How would that process look like? Not everyone who listens to the show is a professional marketer, but they run a business, they're marketing. What would that process look like for a do-it-yourselfer?
Well, I mean, it's just a couple tools. So I used, for that process, I used Descript in order to transcribe the information, take out the uhs and ahs and clean up, like do a basic cleanup. Then I literally just chopped it apart into pieces so I could feed it into ChatGPT-4. And then I said, hey, this, you know, analyze the style of this writer. And it was actually a transcription, but it analyzed that as writing. And then it was able to replicate how I spoke, which actually sounded a lot more like how I wrote when I just gave it a prompt to generate the article that I wanted. So yeah, it's like a three-step process. Now I did give an hour-long presentation. So if you don't have an hour-long presentation that you feel good about, then there's a good chance that you're not going to be happy with the result. Or if you're not a good speaker, you know, it's, I think what we're finding with AI specifically, I actually was just at a podcast with John Benson yesterday, and he's making a copywriting AI, and he's going to help us out with a copywriting cert. And I told him, I said, I think the most prepared people for the use of AI are writers, because writers know how to convey language better than anybody. And all the technical aspects, you know, the reason why you usually read an article or a video or whatever, you could just generate that. You don't need the knowledge anymore. So as long as you could translate the knowledge into the writing, then you're going to win, even if you don't have the technical proficiency of whatever subject you're talking on. So it's still authentic, you know, because it's going to sound a lot like you. And the prompting and the actual ideas should come from you, because like I said, I could spot AI. Like, people send us articles all the time. I know what's AI because it's a certain style, especially if you just leave it basic. So if you don't know the styling aspects, and John actually had like a whole prompting system. He had pre-prompts, and then he had post-prompts, and then it was this whole system of how to generate good copywriting based on these, you know, kind of proven parameters. And then here you go, you get your content, looks good. But you have to be serious about it. And like you said, everybody has access to it. So it's no longer going to be, you know, the person who knows how to make a video is going to be the top YouTuber because nobody else knows how to make a video. Like, all these technical aspects that have become kind of synonymous with digital marketing are going to be gone. So it's like, that's no longer a differentiator that you know After Effects and that you know, excellent copywriting even. Like, all these things are just whatever, because everybody can generate them. And we're in the first generation of AI. Like, we were talking before the show about kind of Elon Musk keeps on tweeting out, like, we got to slow down. And I don't think it's because he's worried that AI is going to murder everybody.
I said this jokingly. I think he's tweeting slow down because he's trying to speed up and he wants to catch up, but that might not be the case.
No, I think it's I think the tech that's coming out is just so disrupting that he's worried that it'll like crash the whole economy. So he's kind of helping by saying, no, we're going to pause. And actually, when the camel with GPT-4 was supposed to be way more capable than it actually is if you've used it. And so I think he found that the visual aspects of one of the things they were supposed to come out with was going to be too disruptive. And so he just stopped and said, hey, let's pause. We don't want to show all our cards, which we already kind of exposed, but now we're going to stop a little bit. But it's disrupting things enough where you have massive layoffs happening with Google and Apple and big tech companies. And I think tech and marketing are kind of on the forefront of AI development or the use of it, mainstream use of it. And so it's going to happen in all industries, but we're just the first case study, and it's already pretty disruptive. So I think I think he's saving us from going over into the deep end before we're ready, or at least he's ready. That's probably more like it.
Fair enough. I mean, time will only tell. And I want to weave back into your story, because I go on tangents. So you're writing fiction, you're a creative guy, but you're a technical guy as well. Where does digital marketing come into play? I mean, digital marketer, in terms of like certifying marketers, is one of the greatest in the world. Again, you didn't roll out of bed and land there. What was the move? Did you go to school for it? Did you cut your teeth as actually just kind of doing it on the fly? Like, you tell me.
Yeah. So I actually, I've always been kind of an entrepreneur. So I've always had little businesses. Even like I said, when I was a kid, I think when I was 10, I put out flyers for car washing service, and then I couldn't serve my first client because I was at a soccer game, but nobody knew it because I actually printed the thing. So I've been doing startups since I can remember. So that's what I always wanted to do. But as I got older, I realized that like I wanted to help other people do it too. Mm. So after college, I actually joined a family startup that helped education, actually just districts communicate with parents. And so it basically took messages from teachers to say like Billy was chewing gum in class, and then would send it home in the home language of the parent in order to inform the parent, even if they didn't speak English. This was in California where you have a lot of languages, so it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my first startup experience, or a bigger startup experience. But what I realized was I really like the technical aspects of online. I like the development of websites, I like the apps, I liked e-commerce. And so after that company, I actually decided to get into e-commerce. So I started developing websites, I think GeoCities, if anybody remembers GeoCities.
I do remember GeoCities. I've looked for GeoCities websites I created. I can't find them. I don't know.
It's such a bummer because I use that. And I use Yahoo and Yahoo Stores. And Yahoo, man, the search engine capabilities of Yahoo, like I still miss them. I remember Yahoo Mail used to just be like, you could type in like half a word and it would magically find the email you were looking for. And if you use Gmail nowadays, you're like, what the hell? Anyways, I could go off on that for a while. But so I did that, got into e-commerce. A friend of mine was into fitness and I wanted a product to sell. So I was like, hey, if you do the fitness stuff, I'll do the content and I'll do the website, and I'll do the e-commerce, I'll do the importing, I'll do the product. You just have to do the fitness stuff and I'll just record you. I'll be the guy behind the scenes doing all the stuff. So I made a magazine and we had a gym in California that was one of the first like kettlebell gyms. I don't know if you're familiar with kettlebells, but
oh yeah.
Back then, this is in the mid 2000s, that was like brand new. And so it was super unique. I'm like, great, we'll import kettlebells, we'll sell unconventional equipment, we'll make this whole thing. And so we came out with the magazine as a content platform to drive traffic to the e-commerce store. So it's kind of a partner relationship between a unbiased magazine, which it was totally biased. It was a content marketing tool. And it just sent traffic because I figured, hey, if we had exercises and workouts for kettlebells or battle ropes or sandbags or any of these unconventional devices, you'd also need the device. And so that was kind of the root of content marketing, which everybody confuses even now, where they're like, oh no, it's about awareness and brand voice and blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, just make a direct connection between the thing you're talking about and the product. It's not complicated.
Explain that for someone who doesn't know what content marketing is specifically. Explain what it is and the true purpose of it. Go a little deeper on that.
Yeah. So content marketing is just the process of making useful information that's connected to your product or your service. And so a lot of people confuse it because they think there's some abstract, journey you could take somebody on with your content and eventually they'll find your product. And it's a mistake because content is just supposed to be essentially product support. So the easiest form of content is an FAQ section for a product or service. Mm-hmm. And that's content. And so that's the basis of it. You're informing, you're educating your customer. And now you have other aspects like your branding and all that different stuff. But at the end of the day, content marketing is useful content connected to your service product. So when people find one thing, they find the other thing. And if they find the product, then here's a bunch of useful information about using the product. And that's content marketing. It's very simple, but we like to make it this mystical, spiritual journey you're taking people on. It's like, no, you can't ROI that. It's impossible to track. And so what you have to do is say, hey, here's an article. Here's a product related to that article. And you'll see this executed on the digitalmarketer.com website too, where you see on the left-hand side of every article, you'll see a related program, a related lead magnet, which we call a resource. Because lead magnet sounds a little marketing-y. And you'll have related topics. But at the end of the day, every single topic that you find is somehow related to a certification. And so, hey, we have a social media certification. And here's a TikTok, a Twitter, a YouTube, a Pinterest, and whatever article. And guess what? They're all connected to the social media certification. So that's how content marketing is supposed to work. But everybody just makes it so confusing because they start with the keyword. We're going to talk about your target market. Then we're going to look up the keywords they look up. Then we're going to create a piece of content that focuses on that keyword. Then we're going to get organic traffic. And then they're going to find that organic traffic. And then you're going to sell them on whatever and put ads everywhere and blah, 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 blah. It's like, That's so much work. No,
That sounds a lot more like even an SEO strategy. I mean, what's your opinion on that? Like creating content for SEO, but then possibly the content is trash.
Well, it's completely tied together, or it was.
Okay.
Because that's one of the big concerns about AI is, for me, Google to me has been one of the most selfish companies in the history of mankind. They've dominated a market, and instead of developing that market and improving things, they just don't, and they haven't. So we've kind of stagnated on information acquisition and distribution for a decade. And it's all because this one jerk company was making enough money where it just didn't matter for it to be good or not, because they were the dominant player. And so what's happening now with AI is they're disrupting that. But what Google, or my fear of what Google's going to do, and they've already kind of released some of their new capabilities that does exactly this, which is, hey, we don't need to send traffic to anybody. We'll just generate it for you. We know our user. We know everything that you look at. We know every email that you send. We know every bill that you pay. We have all your data. So why don't we just generate information specifically for you? So, hey, Ben, you're interested in this subject, and I know that you've already purchased these five things. So I'm just going to relate this content to stuff you already know you buy. And now I could link a product to this content to make it seem like you found this product organically, but you didn't. We just generated some content that guided your psyche into a path that we decided, and you found the product five articles later or however long later, but you've been conditioned to buy something and you didn't even know about it because, as far as you're concerned, you just consumed, you know, organic content, but you didn't. And so that's kind of was my fear with Google, is that they're going to stop sending traffic anywhere because they don't have to. They already own everybody's data. They could generate everything they want custom to you, and no human can compete with that. Because even if I said, like, I'm the best writer on the planet, the best copywriter, like, you read my stuff, you buy, like, I'm that good, it doesn't matter, because I could write one piece where generative AI could write one piece for one person. I can only write one piece for a massive group of people.
Yeah.
And I don't know anybody that's reading it. This thing knows everybody that's reading it and can generate a custom piece of content with all the information and all the details, and pretty soon deliver it in the format that you want. So, hey, you're, you know, a 65-year-old woman that really liked Alex Trebek. And so when you look up questions now, it's Alex Trebek delivering the answer in the form of Jeopardy. Like, you can't compete with that. No writer could. No content creator could. No. And so that's the path where we're starting to get to. And that's why everybody's always arguing about, oh, a human and being genuine and blah, 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 blah. It just doesn't matter, because in order to compete with an AI that could generate any information it wants and knows all the details about you, you're going to have to kind of become the same thing. So what I tell people now is that the path I see everybody going is, you're going to have to style it, you know, make basically a formula for your own brand style, and then deliver enough content to generate your own AI that could then answer questions based on your style to your customers, who could only get those answers from you. I call it a organizational knowledge interface, OKI for short. Mm. I'm trying to get that to catch on, but I still need to trademark it.
Trademark that. I'm going to back. So I was doing sales for a marketing company, had just under 200 clients, people that I onboarded myself. So I ran into situations where people wouldn't give out their email. And I'm just trying to get their email so we can set them up and send them stats and stay in touch with them. But they didn't want to give me their email. So I'm sure some people are out there listening to this and being like, this sounds like dystopia. What are your thoughts?
Oh, no, it's not.
What would you tell somebody who's like, this sounds like a dystopian, like, weird sci-fi movie?
Oh, no. No. Yeah, what I tell people is that what's coming soon is going to be what we expected from the internet in the first place. Because when the internet came out, and if you're old enough, you remember when the internet started, people thought the same thing. They thought, like, okay, I'm going to get online. I'm going to find every answer I ever wanted. I'm going to find every product I ever wanted. Everything's going to get simpler. It's going to get better, blah, blah, blah. And what we got instead is we all had to become technicians in order to find the crap we wanted. You know, how many Google searches do you have to do these days in order to get an answer that you actually like? It's probably not one. It's probably one to 10, or maybe, you know, and for me, I'm lazy. So I'm kind of like, this is taking too long. I'm not going to find the answer. I don't care anymore. I'll just skip finding the answer. And that's happened a bunch. It's happened with email too, especially with Gmail, where you can't find a person that emailed you. You type in literally their full name and it pulls up 10,000 emails and none of them are from that person.
And they're tagged in a group email with like 50 other
people.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not even related to email or person. You're like, I don't know how this is connected at all. But so that's what's happened with the internet, where it's gotten so convoluted, so complicated, and it's become so much work. You know, I was kind of using my Facebook example, where it's like, I mean, literally, I wrote a social media certification recently and I was like, I got to start a group. And I'm like, where did the group icon go? What the hell happened? And they move crap around, and, you know, and so that's what's happened with every app, where you have a team of developers or you have the founder. And even if they're really good, they make stuff based on how they think it should be made. And we're all supposed to go into their app. We're supposed to learn how it works. Then we could, after we figure everything out, now we could do what we want. But the entire process takes months or years in order to do. And people, especially older people, are like, nope, I don't get it. I'm out. I'm just not going to use this thing. And that's a problem. And it was never supposed to be like that. You know, the internet was supposed to simplify our lives, make it better, faster, easier, and it didn't do that. And the problem is, we didn't have AI. It wasn't monitoring the thing. It wasn't thinking for us. It wasn't doing all this work that we didn't want to do. And so, like with my Facebook example, instead of you having to look it up on Google, find the Facebook tutorial, hope the Facebook tutorial isn't trying to sell you something or drop you into like a lead magnet, and then eventually you find the answer. Now imagine a prompt came up and it says, what do you want to do? And you're like, you know, grandma's like, show me pictures of Billy's eighth grade graduation. And then boom, pictures of Billy's eighth grade graduation. Just imagine that. Imagine no more searching through, no more looking at family members, no more of this crap search stuff that's based on keywords that humans created. Now there's a machine that could understand both language and visual, and it could do anything you want instantly with no work. That's what we wanted the internet to do. It was supposed to be easier than us going to a freaking library, looking up the little cards, pulling the thing.
Yes.
I mean, if you're old enough, you remember that process and you're like, this sucks. And there's so much knowledge here and there's so many answers here and there's so much entertainment here, and we just can't find it because the search is crap. So it's going to be way better. Now, the flip side of that is that there are going to be jobs lost, many, many jobs lost, because the other factor that we haven't really realized or just become so used to is this cushy, easy, but boring office job, you know, like Office Space. Remember Office Space? That was super old.
Oh,
and they didn't have a lot of computers back then, but that's the existence that a lot of people live. And we just kind of accepted that work sucks. It's boring. And you got to do these dumb technical HR things, and you got to do this admin crap, and you got to do this data entry crap, and you got to do all this stuff. And it's just boring and nobody wants to do it. So it sucks because a lot of people are going to lose their jobs, but it's good because they're not doing something they want to do anyways. You know, humans are creative, imaginative, you know, just distractible creatures. You know, we don't like focusing on anything for 1 second. We fly all over the place all the time. We have 1,000 tabs open. We're doing 1,000 things. This isn't just because we have technology. It's because this is our tendency. We like acquiring information. We like organizing that information, and we like judging that information. That's what we do as humans. But we're not able to do that right now because we're acting like computers. We're trying to program. It's boring crap. Nobody wants to do that. So AI is going to fix that problem, and we're all going to be so much happier. I think we'll look at the last like 10, 15 years as the dark ages of information, where information was hard to find. It was controlled by huge entities that we don't understand, that had their own motivations and goals. And it had very little to do what we wanted, which was, we want to be entertained. We want to find stuff. We want to find information that helps us improve our lives. And don't want to be bored, you know, and that's what we're trying to solve. You know, it's kind of this whole search problem actually led to the rise of social media, because social media is basically just curated content on a specific website. It's nothing special. It's not a social service. You know, I think since it's called social media, people think like, oh no, it's like You know, everybody gets it. It's like, no, it's just another company trying to make money. You know, that's what they do. And to date, since there's been no competition for people like Google or for organizations like Google, there's been no need for them to change or improve. And it stagnated everything. And so AI is the disruptor that's not only going to break that system, it's also going to propel what we really wanted in the first place, which is Web 3.0 or whatever you want to call it, good web that you actually look forward to accessing. That was a lot of information.
I could take this a lot of ways. Tangents. No, I love the tangents. Here's the thing. I'm concerned, and I might piss some people off, but Google's already kind of canceled us because you talked so much. Don't you get
people? Sorry.
Aren't you guys Google certified and stuff? You shouldn't be talking so much back about Google. We got to get canceled.
Yeah, Google's big enough, and they could cancel whatever. You know, yeah. At the end of the day, I think they're more like the government than anything, and everybody pisses off the government all the time. They don't kill you most of the time, you know, so you're pretty good.
Let me tell you, so Google tangent, what I'm really concerned about, and you mentioned like we like to consume, we like to learn, we like to be able to judge and like implement. My concern is anytime I sign on Facebook or Twitter, I see evidence of the contrary of the fact that people want to be educated, nuanced consumers. They're sharing memes that they just saw that, you know, fits their political perspective. They're sending hate to people they don't know, acting like keyboard cowards. Like I've started realizing this recently, Mark, that I live in kind of an echo chamber where the people I hang out with, the content I consume, the way I live my life is contrary to a lot of people that don't live their life that way. And if the AI is curating content for the person, where is the capacity to judge right from wrong, correct from incorrect? The AI could just spew out a bunch of garbage that actually isn't true, but I might believe it. Is this not a serious concern?
It would be until you consider the possibility of personal AIs. So, you know, we always talk about like somebody building AI, we access their AI. But if you think of a personal AI, just imagine just an app on your phone that's managing all your other apps and you set parameters for it. Maybe you have depressive issues and certain issues that you see online trigger those depression issues. Well, if you told your AI, you said, hey, I don't want to see anything on any of my social feeds that has to do with this subject. It upsets me. Or maybe you have an AI that's assessing your behavior and saying like, hey, you know, based on your behavior, your search patterns, the things you're accessing, you're explaining these psychological tendencies. And based on this, I recommend this to happen. And maybe it's and I'm talking about mental health and stuff, but really that's the biggest issue that we face today. It's nothing to do with most other issues that we face in the past. Like the mental health issue is a major thing that we basically just ignored forever. And now we're starting to address it because we have the information to address it. But just imagine you have a personal AI that's taking all these things in, and then it's fighting against those external AIs that are violating the principles that you don't want. So I think what it's going to do is allow people to organize and assess themselves in a way that they've never been able to do before. And now you could set the parameters of how you want to act. Because a lot of people just are clueless. I personally have been clueless for the majority of my life when it comes to people and relationships. Like I didn't develop that. I was super introverted. Yeah. But you know, if you can't get over that, then there's no way you're going to be able to grow. And that's really what you see with these trolls online. Sometimes they'll make comments and I'm like, you know what? That exposes so much about who you are in a negative light. There's no way you intended that. You thought you were saying something that everybody believed. And since you have no capacity or no knowledge of other opinions, this is the thing that you repeat all the time. Now, if you had something that assessed you from an unbiased standpoint, and this is the important thing about AI that a lot of people don't appreciate, is that when you go to a human, like, you know, again, back to the mental health issues, you're going to a therapist who was trained to be a therapist. They had their own personal experiences. They had their own personal traumas. They had motivations that you don't understand. They got hit by a car in the morning. I don't know, but they could give you a bad session and you might realize that, or maybe you don't. And their advice comes from a place that they didn't even know it was coming from. Their subconscious experience. And that's what they're giving you advice on. And now you acknowledge that that could have happened. So you don't trust that so much, blah, blah, blah. What it comes down to is we can't trust each other because we can't read each other's minds. Now, instead of that, imagine going to an unbiased machine that is basically just assessing data and giving you feedback on that data, which you trust because it's a dumb robot just feeding you information. And you're like, huh. And you actually saw this with the dawn of AI, which actually happened in the 50s, where they had a, I forget his name, but there was a researcher who created essentially a program that all it did is you'd ask it a question and it would ask you a related question back to you. And what he found, he was trying to establish that humans can't communicate with AI or won't feel the same about AI or program. And what he found was the exact opposite. Everybody loved getting the answers. They were having these insights into themselves because of this dumb machine from the 50s that was answering their questions in the form of questions and had them help them make self-realizations that they never would have had otherwise. Yeah. And that's what could happen. Like, you don't have to think like, well, what's Ben's motivation for this? Why is he saying that? Like, he must have an experience that I don't know about, and that's driving his factor. And he's not understanding that my experience is different. So blah, 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 blah. And we have this kind of wall that comes up between getting feedback from humans. AI could get rid of that. And even if you said like, hey, AI is going to be biased and blah, 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 build your own AI. Have it not be biased, or have it be biased however you want. And so, and it's dangerous too, because what it could provide is a sounding board for bad ideas that are now reinforced because you set up the parameters and now you believe something even more and you're brainwashing yourself into never opening up to other ideas. So there's good and bad factors of it, but it is, I think, going to provide insights into people that they've never had before or never trusted before. And now they could know, because it would be like, you know, there's, like I said, there's so many clueless people out there where they think they appear this way to people. And then if they had just an abstract assessment of how they actually people saw them, they would be like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. And now I'm going to change. And you see this, I was in fitness. People realize that all the time when I would do photo shoots with fitness models, even. I'd be like, here's a shot. They'd be like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I was so fat. And it's like, one, you're not. Stop. But two, they had a self-perspective that wasn't consistent with what other people saw. And so now once they realize that here's what other people see, now they're able to change and develop and blah, blah, blah. So again, super long answer, but at the end of the day, AI could provide a sounding board for people that's more effective than anything they've ever heard in their lives.
It's powerful. And I feel like we're going to have to do like a 15-parter. we're still going to finish the episode, but while we're here, where do people keep in touch with you? Because again, the breadth and depth of your knowledge is unbelievable. Digital marketer has everything anyone can ever imagine. So where can we learn more? Because you and I can't teach it all in this podcast. Where should we go?
So I am writing a book about all this stuff. Currently it's called The Future of Content and Us Focus. I'm not sure if that's the working title or not, but it's basically going to be about this kind of self-development aspect of preparing for the future, which is going to happen in the next 6-12 months. So it's how to be open to the changes, how to, stay sane while things change. And a lot of people like you ask like, hey, Mark, aren't you freaked out about all this stuff? And I tell them like, no, I've lost everything before. Like a lot of people haven't had that happen where you hit rock bottom, where you don't have anything. And it's a difficult situation. But if you've been in it before, you realize that you'll survive and you'll be okay if you decide to be okay. But a lot of people don't have that experience. And so my goal is to kind of prepare people for the fact that that could happen. You could lose your career. You could lose all your money. You could lose all your possessions. And at the end of the day, that's okay, because you have the tools now to build yourself into whatever you want and the opportunity to do so too. So it's kind of a mix between those two. But they can find out about that and download whatever they want at markdegrasse.com. And then digitalmarketer.com. We actually are currently doing our AI bootcamp, and we're coming out with AI content all the time, in addition to the core frameworks, which we kind of started a little bit on this, and then I went off on my tangents. But the, you know, the marketing side, the frameworks, the core aspects of marketing are going to become more important than ever. The client relationships, like you said, before we got on, but also just the creative aspects and the, you know, unique advertising and campaign opportunities that are going to be available, because you're now thinking about that stuff rather than the technical aspects that are boring and don't actually add that much value anyways. And so that's digitalmarketer.com. Check out our certifications, and we're coming out with a bunch of those really soon. New ones, analytics,
new ones.
Oh yeah. Copywriting. And it's going to incorporate AI, but it's still going to be based on the foundations that have worked for Digital Marketer for over a dozen years and generated, you know, $100 million for us and billions of dollars for other companies.
Mark DeGrasse. So we can spell digitalmarketer.com, I assume. How do you spell Mark DeGrasse, just for people listening that are writing it down? Oh. It's in the show notes too, but
just M-A-R-K and then D-E-G-R-A-S-S-E. So it sounds like Degrassi, or it looks like Degrassi, yeah. But it's just DeGrasse.
And that is in the notes as well. One thing that stuck out to me is that happened to you. You hit rock bottom. What happened?
Oh, yeah. I can't go into too many details, but
fair.
It went badly. Basically, well, and but I, there was financial consequences and emotional consequences, and you know, I did lose everything. But what I lost more than anything was the principles that had built my life up to that point that had done it. Because I have, you know, psychologically, the term before is over control, where it's basically a form of discipline that allows you to plow through literally anything, even if you should or not. And that's basically how I live my life. I had a set of principles and I lived hardcore with these principles. Mm-hmm. And then what happened was I had somebody who basically turned all of that on me and ruined all of it with lies and deceit and wow. other horrible things. And that broke my system, my personal operating system. And so I had to start from scratch, not only financially and emotionally, but psychologically. And so it's
how'd you do it? Well, how'd you do it? I know this is a whole nother podcast. It's we joked about it. You're very much into that personal growth, and I love to. Is that new podcast out yet? Or are you still creating it?
I'm still creating it. Yeah, I was trying to get the book done and then the board game done. Yeah. And I'm also building a spaceship with my son. Yeah, there's
but a lot of things. You're very much into like this. Personal growth and this resilience. So just the ad lib short version, like what did you do to get out of that really, really dark place? Because every single one of us is going to land in that spot at least once in our life. What did you do?
Well, you know what? Well, to get out initially, I just went back to what I always did, which was work really hard and keep on working and work. And then that's life. And that's all I did. And so I realized actually when I got this job at Digital Marketer was that as I accomplished more and more and got more and more things that I set out to do, I realized that I wasn't happy and that none of the things that I did was actually making me more happy. So when I finally accomplished the thing I ultimately wanted to do and still wasn't happy, I realized that there was a problem. And so what I had to acknowledge was that as an introvert and, you know, kind of a sensitive, emotional person, I had built up a shell of myself that really wasn't honest. And so I had to identify that, eliminate it, and then start expressing myself in a more genuine fashion. And so the whole process took me, I want to say 2.5 years. And I went through everything. I went to therapy, gave up drinking, took a gut biome check and gave up beef, pork, what else? Eggs, like everything that I ate, it turns out I'm allergic to. So I did a psychological testing. I ran a marathon, started doing cold dips, started meditating, started praying a bunch, now go to church every single week, reading the Bible. Yeah. And then talking to people. and now it all comes together, but yeah. It was a long process and it's super difficult. And so I'm just trying to help provide people with some aspects that I know they're going to face and kind of introduce them to the path, which is going to be custom to them. And then you just keep working. I think for most people, you just need to know that there's a version of yourself that's happy and content and motivated and purposeful. And you have to identify it. And it's going to take a lot of work. But at the end of the day, you'll be so much happier. You'll be happier with the process. And some of the process is miserable. Like literally when I had my big awakening, like I wept for like 30 minutes. And then during my meditations, I would weep every time. And it would just be about acknowledging different things about myself that I had suppressed and didn't really think about. And then once I started to, then it was able to open up and break through and all that kind of stuff. Wasn't pleasant or comfortable, but I'm happier than I've ever been. So it worked for me.
So that, and it rounds out the story end of things really well. Like you're a digital marketer. Things are going incredibly well. Thank you for sharing that. I don't think there's anything wrong with the fact you wept. If anyone's curious, Robbie Bent was on the podcast. He invented a company, Othership. Part of Othership is they have an app that combines breath work and music and like guided meditation. And there's a couple tracks on there that I can show any of y'all. And if you don't cry, you don't have a soul. Like we all have this stuff that we're suppressing, trash from our past that we're kind of just shoving down and not actually taking out the trash. And I appreciate you sharing that. So nowadays you're feeling great. It sounds like you've never been doing better.
Oh yeah. No, I'm so much better than I've ever been. Now I do still have bad times. You know, yeah. It's not like and I think that's what happened originally when I had, and they call it a Kundalini awakening is kind of the term for it. It's a combination of breath work and a bunch of other things. But it's once I broke through that and kind of what I thought being happy was being okay with everything, like kind of this passive, peaceful, you know, like, oh, everything's good. And what I had to realize is that when you start to, you know, get out of the darkness and see the light, you start to see the darkness, which is something that a lot of people don't talk about the awakening development process, where it's like, no, what you're going to have is you're going to be able to recognize bad things about yourself, other people, and the world in general. And that will cause a different set of chaos, which leads to a different level of development. And now it just keeps progressing. So the process has been up and down, but the more I've kind of accepted that that's part of the process, the better and faster it's become. So
it's brilliant. I've got this metaphor that's half baked in my head, but it's June when we're recording this. There's a bunch of wildfires in Canada. I'm in Rochester, New York. We've got like the worst air pollution on the globe right now. And the sun is orange. It looks like neon, like Jolly Rancher orange. And like you're at some crazy EDM festival and it's a fake sun. And I was like, I've never seen the sky so, like I can see like particles in the sky and I can see the sun's orange. I had never experienced that. So similar to leaving that darkness, you don't know what light looks like when you're still in the darkness. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, I'm half baked on that metaphor, but it sounds like you started to see things differently and it completely changed your perspective.
Oh yeah. You can't start until you see yourself clearly. You know, a lot of people think like, oh no, this is who I am. And this, everybody else is a bunch of jerks. And it's like, no, there's some jerks out there. But, you know, until you could recognize yourself and you shine that flashlight on yourself, now you can shine it at other people and realize like, oh, crap, like I've been judging people like they know who the heck they are and they know what's up. And it's like, no, a lot of people just don't. And so when you're offended by somebody or somebody's acting irrationally or mean or all these different things, you start to acknowledge like, oh, OK, that's just some unattended to damage that you haven't taken care of. And there's opportunity there for you. But I don't have to take anything you say personally. I just have to acknowledge that you're on this stage and hopefully you get somewhere else. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't know if you have kids, but I talk to people about this. Like I talk to younger people who don't have kids and I'm like, I could try to explain what it's like to you, but you're not going to appreciate it. You're not going to even acknowledge it. You're going to say like, I babysat before. That's the same thing. And I'm just going to get angry. So I'm going to say that your experience, you don't have enough experience to even accept what I'm saying yet. But you'll get it maybe if you have kids and you'll realize that, you know, the other thing I hear a lot of times is like, well, I don't like kids. Like I'm not a kid person. I'm like, okay, this isn't a kid. This is a mini version of you. that you created from scratch. This is the biggest project you've ever taken on ever. And you're going to love this thing to death because it's literally you. So no, you don't know what it's like if you have a dog.
Well, Mark, I can just kind of build an AI to take care of the child for me.
No, well, that's the best part is that people don't realize like, no, the taking care of the child is the best part. And yes, it's difficult and it's hard and all these things, but that's all growth. And so for me personally, and this is part of the personal development journey, is I have an autistic son and I have a very gifted son. And so these two sons show me all different things about the world that I never would have realized unless they were here, about themselves, about myself, and then also about just the world in general. So it's all, you know, a learning process, but just like having kids, I can't explain it to somebody, especially if they don't want to hear it. And so, you know, you'll figure it out or you won't. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's interesting. Some people don't have the capacity to have kids. We all have a different journey. I never pretend like I know who someone is or what they're going through without asking them 500 questions to actually understand. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, and there's things that people are experiencing in their lives that they don't even realize are hampering everything that they're doing because they think that what they're doing is right. They just don't have any better information available. So, and that and full circle back to AI, I think AI is going to help people expose themselves to who they actually are. And now, and part of that process is the creative side of it, where people who don't consider themselves artists or creatives think that they can't create things. They're just like, oh no, I'm a numbers person, I don't create things. It's like, no, you just don't have the interest in being creative to generate the skills to express yourself correctly. Now AI is going to break down that whole barrier too, because you don't need to know how to paint to have an idea for a painting and have it generated. So I think it's going to democratize creativity, and people who have never considered themselves creative are going to start to feel creative, which they should, because that's what humans are good at.
You're making me feel good about myself because I've been in and around the music industry my entire career. I am not a good musician, but if you were to tell me to write a song, I could sing you every single part, but I couldn't play any of the parts. So little old me that doesn't know how to play that well, in theory, could write a song just by training the AI with the melodies. Oh my God. Oh, yeah. All right. Rabbit hole. We're going to close the door on the rabbit hole.
One of my favorite.
Please go, okay. go.
So one of my favorite things to do, and this goes back to the creative side, because I like to write science fiction, but I don't have a whole lot of time for it. So what I'll do is I'll actually pull a short story from one of my favorite authors, train the AI with a short story, and then give it my idea so that the author that I love just wrote a custom story based on my idea for me, and I have custom entertainment.
All right, so we'll have you back down the road. People are going to continue to follow you. All those links are in the notes. I knew we'd run long. I'm kind of happy we did, but do we have time for the rapid fire round? Short, sweet, kind of, you know, shoot from the cuff questions?
Sure. Let's do it.
Cool. We'll start with easy ones, then we'll go to some big ones. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Favorite animal, cats, dogs, or fill in the blank?
I have a horse that I like right now. It's really weird. But probably dog. They're functional.
Dogs, horses. What else? We find you on the weekend. Nothing related to this conversation. What do you like to do that maybe a lot of people don't know about you?
Currently, I'm developing that RC airplane, and last weekend, I learned that I don't know how the servos are supposed to be positioned, and it turns out I reversed everything and hit my son with the airplane. It was a disaster. He survived. He's fine. but yeah, I experiment with, just stuff and test it out all the time, and it has nothing to do with anything other than I have an idea and I'm going to try to do it. So yeah, I build stuff on the weekends.
Beautiful. That's fascinating, dude. So it's June 2023 right now. This will probably come out, you know, later in the summer, but it's June 2023. Any quick, fast predictions for the future of marketing?
Whoa, that's a big one.
I know. I ended on the biggest question. take your time with this and then we'll close.
Okay. So I think a lot of things are going to happen, but the biggest thing that's going to be the biggest risk for people is what I'm calling the job extinction event, where not only marketing companies and tech companies realize that AI is, you know, a more productive way to do business, but all industries are going to realize this. Finance, accounting, anything admin is going to be able to take advantage of this tech and, you know, multiply the capacity for work of all their employees and find that they don't need as many. So I don't know. I kind of ran a projection based on the seven key events that I'm coming up with to say, like, here's the events that will happen that are going to change major things. And I think it'll come to a head in the first quarter of next year. But we'll see. It might be farther out. But basically, you need to start examining yourself and what you really want to do with your life, because the career that you had might be gone. Not just like you lost your job, but the job might be gone.
What's interesting is even if you're listening to this in 2025, 2026, same thing. The world's moving so quickly. Not to put anybody on the spot, but my girlfriend's got an employee. I'm sure she doesn't listen to the show. They do accounting related stuff. My girlfriend's trying to make everything electronic. She's still printing out stacks of paper and highlighting with a highlighter, and it just, your efficiency's not there. Your job might disappear, and that's the way the world's moving. So I think we're all going to see that in our lifetime. We're all going to get laid off at some point, other than you, because you're an entrepreneur. You'll just like create something else, you know?
Hey, I've lost everything before, so I can do it again. I know I could survive. So I think that's the thing that people need to realize. Plus, they need to acknowledge that things are going to be better. You know, it seems scary, and, you know, everything changing is always scary. However, it's not like things are great right now. Like, has everybody had fun for the last few years? No. Okay. Well, the whole system's changing. So we're going to have this opportunity where nobody knows how to do anything. And so you could be anything you want.
Talk about democratizing opportunity for young ageism out the door. Like, we have equal opportunity. Let's go crush it.
Yeah, diversity out the door.
Yeah. Well, age, diversity, any of that skill set. It's, am I willing to learn, adapt, and utilize these tools or not?
Yep. And it's, but at the end of the day, everything's going to be faster. You know, another factor of marketing that I didn't even mention was the lifetime value of your customer is going to become the core metric that you're going to base everything on. So it's not about getting a sale, which has been the driver for the history of humanity. It's going to be, how do I keep that customer forever? Because acquiring new customers is going to get super duper expensive. And so you're going to have to start thinking about that. But what's going to happen is that products are going to improve, services are going to improve, your connection with the things that you use all the time is going to be deeper than ever. And so you're going to love what you own, and you're going to love the companies that provide it. And the companies that can do that, establish this, are going to win, which is awesome. You know, I'm ready for insurance companies to stop doing commercials about how good their customer service is and actually do good customer service. That would be incredible.
If I want insurance, I'll just click a couple buttons and then I have insurance. I don't need someone to walk me through.
Oh, no, it's not the sign up process. I'm talking about when you crash your car and you can't get the insurance company to pay for anything.
So one last question on that kind of thing. I mean, a lot of people might think, you know, I listen to podcasts, but I'm still kind of old fashioned. Is that old fashioned, you know, coffee, chat, shake someone's hand? Are relationships going to, like, a lot of people want that old fashioned connection with all this technology. Is that going to go bye-bye? What's your thought?
No, it's going to get hyper detailed online. And then, because what I see is basically two to three groups of people coming out of this whole situation. You're going to have the adopters, the people who say, hey, I'm getting on this train. Like, let's go. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to figure it all out. I'm going to learn as much as I can. Then you'll have the other group followers who will basically take the tools made by the adopters and use them and be happy enough with that. And then you're going to have the people who I call them the Luddites, where they're never going to adopt the tech. The tech getting more advanced is actually going to drive them further away. And you're going to have these communities of people who aren't online at all. They don't do anything online. They have no idea what's going on. And what it's going to lead to is a big split between these two groups, but the two groups are going to get very involved with the other people within their communities. And so you'll be more connected than ever, because finding more people like you won't involve you going through 1,000 Reddit forums to find the other jerks that believe whatever that you believe. Like, all these things are going to start coming to you automatically, because it's just going to be found based on how you are and what you do online. So I think it's actually going to make the connections deeper than ever. And the offline connections are going to get deeper than ever too, because everybody else is going to be online. So it's not going to split. It's actually going to make the relationship level much better. Plus the detail, like the dumb information we have to send to each other all the time, is going to be more automated. So the only conversations we'll be having are the ones that matter, because everything else is taken care of. So it's going to be good. Everybody will love it.
Mark, I'm having this weird, uneasy feeling that this is one of the longest, if not the longest episode of all time. Yet I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface. It was just like a little nibble of how deep we could go and how deep you're already going. So tell us one more time how people can. So, well, first off, I'll just tell you, subscribe to Digital Marketer. There's a there. It's in the show notes. I somehow made the cut, was on the podcast. You can start with that episode if you're you want. Awesome. But wherever you found this, you can find Digital Marketer Podcast. And what how else can we support you, man?
I would say, yeah, just check me out at markdegrasse.com. I am coming out with that book hopefully this summer. Originally, I was going to self-publish, but I had a friend convince me that I need to actually publish. So I'm going to go through the commercial publishing process, which I haven't done before. So we'll see how long that takes. But I'm trying to get it out soon, because I think that a lot of these major things are going to happen very soon. I've had a lot of friends who are in high up positions within companies that in a variety of industries, and they're all losing their jobs currently, and they're all looking for the next job. And even people that have left Digital Marketer since, you know, over the last couple of years, some of them didn't get jobs for a year. So my goal is to help prepare people for that situation, get on board with current trends and what's coming, and just be ready and open for the future, because it's going to be better.
It's going to be better. Mark, man, thanks for coming on the show. Fascinating discussion, and we'll do a round two. We'll make it happen. I appreciate you're trying to write a book and you spend an hour with me, so I appreciate your time, and everyone click subscribe, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ben. Really appreciate it.